Welcome to Countdown to Kickoff here on WAER.
Across the 10 to the 5, still on his feet, and into the end zone. Touchdown, Syracuse.
Battle straightaway free, sinks it. Tyus Battle is 5 for 5. The freshman is on fire.
Pass in front to Evans. Oh, what a shot and a goal. Behind the back by Jordan Evans.
Welcome back to the double overtime here on WAER.
The greatest stories from America's greatest college sports station. It's time for the best of WAER Sports Podcast.
Week 1 of the 2017 NFL season saw a landmark moment as two minority coaches made their debut in the same game. In college football, Dino Babers is one of 15 minority head coaches among the 128 Division I football programs, and he's the only minority head coach in the ACC. This week, WAER's Drew Carter examines the state of minority coaching in football.
Chargers made it close with a couple of fourth quarter scores. Denver wins it.
When the Broncos hosted the Chargers in week one of the 2017 NFL season, the men on the sidelines made it a historic contest. Vance Joseph of Denver and Anthony Lynn of LA became the first pair of African-American head coaches to debut in the same matchup. And Joseph understood the weight of the moment.
It's obviously a special thing, you know, on a, I would say a big picture, you know, issue is a special thing, but hopefully in 4 or 5 years that won't even be an issue. You know, it's just two coaches going at it and you know, made the best team win.
Back on January 11th, Denver made Joseph the seventh man of color currently coaching an NFL team. The next day, Lynn became number 8. That figure is at an all-time high, thanks in large part to a rule established 15 years ago.
Martin Luther King Day on 2002, like I started every day, I started by reading the sports section.
That's Cyrus Mary, a civil rights lawyer. And in that newspaper, he read that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had fired head coach Tony Dungy, just a couple weeks after the Minnesota Vikings had done the same to Dennis Green. Both men were black, and both had been extremely successful. In Green's 9 full seasons in Minnesota, the Vikings made the playoffs 8 times. Dungy's Buccaneers were 4 for 6.
And I just said, enough is enough.
Mary enlisted the help of Dr. Janus Madden from the University of Pennsylvania and Johnny Cochran, the late attorney best known for his defense of O.J. Simpson in 1995. The results?
A report called Black Coaches in the NFL, Superior Performance, Inferior Opportunities. And what that report showed was that minority coaches far exceeded their white counterparts when it came to going to the playoffs. They were twice as likely to, and winning games. And win-loss records are pretty objective numbers, so we saw statistically significant data that basically showed a double standard in the NFL.
Mary's team released the report in September of 2002. By the end of the year, the NFL passed a rule, named after longtime Steelers owner and diversity advocate Dan Rooney, that required teams to interview minority candidates for coaching and executive positions. Mary explains why.
Well, the bottom line is that every time one of our guys gets an interview, even if they're not selected, they're better positioned for the next time around. Word gets out, so every time it sets up the next time. So you don't score touchdowns on every drive. Sometimes you have to get a few first downs.
And the Rooney Rule has scored plenty of touchdowns. The league now features 8 minority head coaches and 6 minority general managers. It's been so successful that other administrative groups, including the U.S. Senate, have considered adopting their own version of the rule. But the state of diversity in coaching football isn't perfect.
This story from college football, just absolutely inexcusable. Texas A&M coach Kevin Sumlin's wife, Charlene Sumlin, revealed on Twitter the racist hate mail that Sumlin received after losing to UCLA.
It was a vile, racist, disgusting letter that he dealt with.
Said, quote, "You suck as a coach. You're a N-word and can't win. Please get lost or else."
Sumlin's Aggies blew a 34-point lead and lost to UCLA in week one of the 2017 college football season. After the game, a fan sent that letter to Sumlin's house. His family saw it first.
You know, my wife and kids have never called a play. My wife and kids have never done anything football-wise that have led to us losing a game.
At Syracuse, head coach Dino Babers, who is also African-American, says he just tries to focus on football.
I know that I'm a black guy, and I know that I'm a black coach, but to me, it's more important to just be a coach. A coach is a universal name. You're a teacher. You're a father. And those those are the things that are important. I just happen to be a black person.
But Floyd Keith, himself a former black coach and the executive director of a group called Black Coaches and Administrators, says it's a reality of the job.
If you ask every coach of color, they're going to have some stories about some things that they deal with. You got to have thick skin as a coach, just to be a coach in general, particularly if you're a coach of color, maybe thicker.
The vast majority of people in this country are people of goodwill.
When you got a head coach at Syracuse, one at Penn State, coach at Illinois, you got one at Stanford, you got Texas A&M, Oregon. Those were Power Five jobs that years ago weren't open to people of color, and now they are.
Despite bumps in the road, like that letter to Sumlin, the trend is mostly positive. Football fans can point to a few beacons of hope for diversity in coaching. One of them roams the Syracuse sidelines. Drew Carter, WAER Sports.
You've been listening to the best of WAER Sports Podcast. Find a full broadcast schedule at our website, WAER.org, and follow us on Twitter at WAER Sports.